quickly commenting on the observation that the Gemara makes at that bottom of Gimel and Aleph, that it's absolutely inconceivable to really, truly require to be miyachid edim for the purpose of kedushin. We've never heard of such a thing. Even though the Gemara says it's not really necessary in terms of kedushin per se, don't really require yichid edim. Nevertheless, the Rishonim pointed out there may be some very real advantages that we have by being miyachid edim. It's almost a strange thing. That which the Gemara just almost asked so flippantly, like, I can't be. No one would ever think of doing such a silly thing. So somehow, by Bizman, 2,000 years, not even 1,500 years later, it's considered to be standard practice. So the Rishonim instituted this idea of Yichud Eidim for the following two reasons. So both reasons revolve around the same basic issue, but different, almost different applications of that issue. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about the Nimtza Echem and Eidim Karv Apostle, that if you have a group of Eidim, and one of the Eidim turns out to be a Michal Shabbos, turns out to be a relative, someone who's disqualified to be an aid. So not only are they disqualified, but they bring down the whole house with them. They bring down the apostle, all the Eidim that go with them as well. So this led Tosfos and the Rosh and the Rishonim to pose the question, how can we ever get married? And under every chuppah, you always have a krov, you always have relatives there, so that should undo the Eidus. So there are two different approaches to the Rishonim, just how serious we even take that question. So Tosfos quoted Maseches Machos, the sheet of the Re, where the Re said that whole parasha of Nimtza Echem and Eidim Karv Apostle only applies when the what's called an Eid HaMeir, if he actually shows up in Beis Din and tells that arrive. We're on Machos, Davav, and others look more differently, but that was the basic sheet of Re, that only an Eid HaMeir poses a problem, and therefore the Re said, since what can Eid HaMeir? Who's going to ever, what, the father's going to come, the cousin's going to come, the non-food photographer's going to come, and we can be made, the Kedushah Chazjob, it's like Tzonis. There's never going to be an Eid HaMeir. So since there's never going to be an Eid HaMeir, therefore, there's nothing wrong with having Psulim there at the time of the Shasriyas Eidus, doesn't really bother us at all. That was the Re's whole solution to the problem. Nevertheless, we saw last week that the Rashbam disagreed. The long Rashbam of the Basra, it was probably indicative of Rashi sheet. That was seems to be quoted from his grandfather, also Rashi. So no, it's not true. That an Eid HaRoeh can also potentially pose a problem if he's Mechavin Lahoy. If he's not Mechavin Lahoy, he's just walking by and he sees something he wasn't planning on being made, that's not going to pose a problem. But if he's Mechavin Lahoy, that could pose a problem. So you never know. Who knows who's under the chuppah, what people are having in mind. Everybody, no one knows what's going on. So therefore, the Rishonim will bother, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, we could potentially still have a problem. So to solve that problem, the Ritva writes, no problem. Just be miyachid edim. Just single out one set of edim, the kosher edim, and that will separate and differentiate between the men and the boys, between the good edim and the apostle edim, and the whole problem of the apostle will be solved, even according to Rashi and the Rashbam. So in one place, the Ritva writes that it's only necessary to do that according to that lone sheet of Rashi and the Rashbam. But in another place, the Ritva, so we saw this last week, the Steven Ritva, in one place the Ritva writes, no. Even according to the Re, even according to the, maybe the mainstream view, that only an Eid HaMeir poses a problem, but Bad Devar Mamurim, that the Din of Nimtza Echem Apostle is limited to an Eid HaMeir, that's only when it comes to Eidus, such as Mamunas and Nefashas, which nothing really happened, B'Shas Ariyah, the Eidus only gets off the ground, B'Shas Agoda. But She'en Ken, Eidus of Kedusha, to get into that matter, where you require what's called Eidus of the Kim HaDavar, so the Eidus is important right now. The Eid has a Shemit, he's already ready to have the Eid right now. By Mamunis, he's not wearing the hat of the aid until he gets to base. And the fact that I saw a guy breathing through someone's window, if I don't open my mouth, so I'm lamal lamar, I'm not a gale mice at all. So I don't take on the status of an aid until later. But when it comes to Kedushin and Gerushin, where there is a din of Eidus Tekim HaDavar, so the mere being present at the time of the Riyas HaMaisa is important. And that importance can do us in, that can pose a problem of Nimtza Echem Apostle. So therefore the Ritva wrote in the other place that it would make sense to do Yichud Eidim even according to Rashi, even according to the Re, that would make sense. According to Rashi, the Rashbam for sure makes sense. And even according to the Re, you could argue it makes sense as well. So the Maizeh, a combination of these two reasons, that has become the standard practice that we do Yichud Eidim. So that's where we left off, that's the background of the last week. So comes the Ktzos, and comes to Tzotz and says, wait a second. He said, I understand and I appreciate the problem that the Rishonim are dealing with. I understand the Re and I understand the Rashbam. I got the two Ritva. I got those stories, as it says. But do you really need to solve this problem, such a serious, formal solution of Hinini Mucharim Zuman, these are the Eidim, and these are not the Eidim. Is that really necessary? Says the Ketzels, isn't it almost Muvan Me'elov? Isn't it almost understood that obviously there's a separation between the men and the boys. Obviously the Eidim Kshem are one side of the fence, and the Eidim, not literally, but figuratively, on the other side of the fence. Isn't that obvious? So, wait a minute, it's obvious. If it's obvious, then why is there a din of Nimtzei Echor Apostle altogether? So says it says, no. He says, when you're dealing with Eidus and Ritzicha and a Nechil Shabbos, on a breaking of a window, you're talking about the Nimamunas, the Nefashos, so the Bali Dovar are not the ones who are running the show. They're not appointed Edom. They're not calling the shots. They're not in charge of anything. The Edom are coming in a chutz and watching Reuven killing Shimon. They're watching Reuven breaking Shimon's window. So we're not going to ask the Bal Dovar, oh, by the way, would you like that guy to be the aid? What do you think about that guy? Is that guy, is he on the good list and the bad list? What are you going to ask the Bal Dovar? That's not their job. They don't have any, their job is to kill each other. Their job is to break windows. They're not in charge of deciding who the Edom are. So says Ktzos, but Medim Amurim, the whole parish of Nitzachor Apostle makes any sense. That's what you're talking about, where the Edom are coming in on their own. And now we got Ksherim, we got Psulim, so according to Rashi and Rishbam, Bishas Riyah, according to the Rebishas Hagod, whatever you define the parameters are. But we're not asking anybody to determine who is and who's not an Ed. Masha'in came, when it comes to a Kiddush, it comes to a Gevishin. So says Ktzos, it's the chosid and the kal who are deciding to get married. They got their kibbutim list. They're the ones who are deciding whether they want to go through with this wedding or not. Obviously, they want to get, the goal of the wedding is to get married. The parents are not spending $100,000 that they should walk away without a kiddushin. So obviously the goal is we want this couple to get married at all costs. So it's muvan me'elav. It is so intuitively obvious that when I walk into a wedding, so I want the Edom Kshayim to be there, and I don't want the Edom Tzulim to be there. So it says, we have to spell it out for, but you have to delineate who the Kshayim and Tzulim are. Just, the Chassid puts his kittel on, she puts on a gown, they're standing on the Chuppah. For states, of course they want the Kshayim to be there, not the Tzulim to be there. So the idea of requiring a, see how long this chair lasts. If the nothing to do with you. When you walked in, something broke on the chair. Well, it was, I know you have very kaychas of.
So the. I'm just worried about why you're sitting.
I'm also worried about I'm sitting a little bit. But okay, if you see me go down, so catch me. So the Ktzai says, why is it necessary to formally require a yichud avine of edim k'shem, the first edim sulim, it's mufan. It's almost like mashmadov. It's not exactly. I say it's almost like a mashmadov. There's a din that if I have a borrowed garment, so I'm not mechuyim put tzitzit on the garment. If I borrowed a garment, talis from you, I borrowed a garment from you, I'm not mechuyim min atari put tzitzit on. If I have for more than 30 days, then I have to midrabbana, looks like mine, but midraisa, ksuscha v'lo shalachet. So the Rush writes, what's the din if I come up to you before davening? He says, oh, you're about, can I please borrow your talis? The guy finished davening. I come to the rick and I say, can I borrow your talis to daven for the next hour and a half? So I used the bad word. I said, can I borrow your talis? So says the Rush, you didn't really mean to borrow his talis. You really meant to acquire his talis. You really meant to give the talis as a gift. And that's what the guy wants to also. Because your goal is to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So even though you didn't quite formulate it exactly what you were supposed to say, it's muvan me'elav. Of course that's what you want to do. The goal is to get the job done. So of course I want to make sure that I end up with a talis that's mine. Well, let's say I first come to shul, first day sukkahs, and the guy's not such a lamdan. He doesn't know. You have to say, I want the esrog, I'm a tonos tachs. He doesn't have the whole love to that. He says, listen, I want to be yotzei mitzvah of esrog. Give me the esrog. Whatever the rabbi say goes. Whatever it says, shulchan aruch is good for me. So the rishonim, right? Of course that's good. So that's basically what the Ktzos is saying here also. That b'medim b'mamurim, you have to spell out b'racha b'incha k'tana, who's the aid, who's not the aid. That's when, that would only make sense if you weren't calling the shots. But if you're calling the shots, let's move on, mail up, you're singling out who is who. So notwithstanding that Ktzos, the meaning is still, we still don't want to take a chance. We still want to make sure that we got it right. We want to make sure that we yachad aid, that we get either because we want to solve the problem according to the Rashbam, or because we're concerned, even according to the Ri, according to one side, one opinion, the Ritva, maybe we'd pose a problem. So the Mice, the meaning is still the way it is. For the last hundreds, a couple hundred years, we still do Yichud Edom just to be on the safe side.
But if it was like a murder, would one possible aid, he would destroy the whole thing?
It would.
If it was a murder, let's say not Kedushin, but like a real.
Well, according to the Ri, if he would show up in Bezdin, he could really kill for us, right? Okay. It will show up in Bezdin.
So
right?
If he were to shoot somebody in public, there'd be hundreds of Edom.
So we have to. So the Bezdin has to strongly encourage the puzzle guys not to show up, but they have to come. Right, that was the Tosfos talked about. When they have to come to Tachnit Diba, maybe if they don't come to Tachnit Diba, that would still be good. Right. So we would try to keep them out of the picture. Right. So again, so getting back to that story. So we have the Nidik that Rishon instituted, the two different reasons why they had it, and then the Tzelos is kind of almost toning things down a little bit. Is it really, really necessary? So I want to just talk a little bit about the Shaila, the very real Shaila that happened. It appears in the Chassam Sofer. It was has happened many, many times over since the days of Chassam Sofer. It's not such an uncommon Shaila. So I'm sort of discussed the following Shaila, Ma'aseh Shaila Kechoya. So they did what they were supposed to do. They were Yachid Eidim, Gaval, wonderful, married. And 2 days later, it comes to the attention of everybody around that one of the Eidim there, Yachid, was Taka Puzzle. One of the Eidim who they thought was Kasha, he was Puzzle. Why was he Puzzle? Maybe it turns out he was related. They didn't realize it at the time. Maybe it turns out he was a Ganav. They didn't know about it at the time. He was Bechal Shah. Lamai said they find out that his mom is really, really Puzzle. And he glowed Muslim Afreya, that he was Puzzle from the time that he did the Aveir already. The Gemara has a discussion in Maseches Bevakam and Maseches Sanhedrin about an Ein Zomim. The person comes in Ein Zomim. So do we say he's Puzzle from the time that he was made, from the time he did the Aveir, maybe from the later time when he's caught? But that's, even there we pass it goes with Mafreya. That may be exception to the rule. But generally speaking, if a person does Aveiras, so they're Puzzle from the time that they did the Aveir. So even though we don't catch him until a month later, we don't made against a month later, but a glory Muslim afraid he was like a Puzzle all along. So you have a situation, a very strange situation. So you had two Eidim, it turns out one of the Eidim we thought was Kasha ended up to be Puzzle. Now, Gavalt, what do you do? So we have almost a problem on multiple levels. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, first of all, we have a very, forget about Intercover Puzzle, forget about that. We don't have any condition. We have what's called Mekadosh B'lo Eidim. The Gemara says later on, Mekadosh B'lo Eidim is Ein Chalesh in the condition. If a boy and a girl, one gives a ring to another and there's nobody around and nobody heard her, even though they both walk at the base and later and say, he says, I gave her the ring, and she says, I got the ring, and they really well are going to be married, the Gemara says, I raise that klum. It's mamish nothing. Ein Chalesh in the condition, that Eidim is such an integral part of Kedusha. It's the right from Xavier Shabbat, it's Halacha Moshe Nesida, and Dovah Dovah Yimaman. Mekadosh B'lo Eidim is mamish, is Gornish, mamish Dvar Mitelu. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, forget about the Chiddush of Nitzkar Apostle, we're in a big pickle. We're the Eidi Kedushin. So Chassam Sofer says, come on, we're the Eidi Kedushin. There are 500 other people in the audience. There are 500 people sitting in the back. They're the Eidi Kedushin. So Dal Meyocha, the one Gauss Apostle, forget the Gauss Apostle, will be Mekayim Dover, I'll pick the other person. The person sitting in the back row is also good. Frech the Chassam Sofer Kasha himself. What do you mean you're going to be accept the Eidi Kedushin of the guys in the back row? What did he see? We'll corner him and ask him, so what did you see exactly? So what was going on? A guy was sitting in the back row of a chasana. What does he tend to see? So he tends to see what's on his cell phone, usually, whatever he's paying attention to. In days of some sofer, Halabai was bringing Baba Sedra in the back. And you just know that at my my daughter's wedding, so my wife very much wanted that to be able to watch the kids. We should watch my older kids walk down the aisle. It's a little bit of a hard thing to position, because when you're about to walk down the kala, so you're standing outside, so you can't really get a good view of everybody. So she was insistent that we have to see first, and then come back. So she went to the woman's side, to the side, and I had to go to the, I don't know if anyone remembers, but I was standing in the back with all the people. I'm saying, yes, I was standing in the back while the whole chuppah was going on until I got to the point where I had to walk down. I was watching the entire chuppah from the back row. So I noticed that there were a few people who were a little embarrassed. So I noticed one or two people turned off their phones. That means they saw that I was watching them, so they felt bad. Here I'm paying for them to come to the wedding, and they're on their phones. So they thought that was, I thought it was humor. So some people that came up and grabbed me with some ads, I mean, okay, I said, no, I just wanted to watch my daughter's wedding. I said, otherwise I'm missing the whole day. I'd catch the video. I still haven't seen the video. I'm almost married a year, and I still haven't seen the video. So, not that the video's not here. It's here. I just haven't had a chance to sit and watch it. So people do a lot of strange things. People are sitting in the back. So Zav Chassam Sofer, how are they going to be the Eidi Kedushin? Zav Chassam Sofer says, no, it's okay. They can still be the Eidi Kedushin. Why? Because they know exactly what's going on. They know that there's a ring that's being given by a chassan to a kala. How do they know? Because they see there's a rabbi, it's a chosherat. His name is Chassam Sofer. He's being beside a kedusha for them. They know there's an Orthodox rabbi, everything's beside like that. They hear the music in the background, they see the person walking down. If you would stop and ask them, Everyone's been on many, many chasanas. How many chasanas do you aid the Kiddush in that? I don't know. Hundreds of chasanas? How many chasanas? Not so many chasanas. I've been at many, many more chasanas that have been in the Kiddush than they have been. I can tell you, every single chasana I went to, I don't have any doubt that the couple's married. I have no shaila. I didn't see the ring. I know it was Rabbi Shechman said Kiddushin, Rabbi Wilson, Rabbi Torsky said, I know what the Kiddushin was. I know the Chassid and Kala. I heard the music. I heard them break the. I know that there was a ring that was given somewhere in the Middle East that I didn't see with my own eyes. So that's Chassam Sefer. That's a Chanaidus. That's not Eidus. Wait a second. According to the new phrase, it's called Eidus Yediyah Beloy Re'iyah. That's called an Eidus of Yediyah. The Gemara has such a way. Eidus Yediyah Beloy Re'iyah. We have another word for it. You know it's called? Anan. Called Anan Sade. You know what the Aramaic translation was? Anan, what is Sade? Yagar Sadusa. Sade means Eidus. Anan Sade means we are the Eidim. Anan Sade, we throw that phrase around flippantly. Listen, Anan Sade at the following issue. Read Anan Sade. We're witnesses of, what do you mean witnesses the following issue? You're not a witness. I'll be thinking you're a witness. That an aid doesn't need an absolute Re'iyah. You can have an aid to see a below Re'iyah. It's interesting because the Rav Moshe made that concept very, very popular. It's funny because it's a little ironic that Rav Moshe made it popular in a sugya that the Chassam Sofer probably would have been very, very, you know, distraught about the sugya of Chol Yisrael. That the Mishnah says in Maseches of Edizot and Sechel Perek that you're not allowed to drink milk that was milked by a non-Jew because we're afraid maybe mix a little bit of non-kosher milk. So the Mishnah says, unless you have Yisrael Re'eiv, unless you have a Jew who watches the milking process. So Rav Moshe writes, 2,000 years after the Mishnah was written, Rav Moshe writes, what if no Jew saw the movie? There's not a Jew in sight. There's no rabbit along white beard for 100,000 miles away from where the cows are. You can still drink the milk, says Rav Moshe. You know why? Even though you don't have Yisrael Re'ehu, if you have Yisrael Yod'ehu, if you know with absolute certainty that the milk is 100% cow's milk, up to kosher animal's milk, then you have nothing to worry about, even though no Jew saw it. Now, how are you going to know? So Rav Moshe said, in the old days, how are you going to know? Because the Goyish farmer told you, maybe he's lying to you. How do you get to know? Because you think that there's no pigs around. How do you know? So Rav Moshe said, I'll tell you how I know. I said, you as Department of Agriculture goes and monitors the farms and checks all the dairy plants, and they would put the guy out of business in a set. Imagine a guy in today's world, 2018, a guy would be caught mixing pig's milk into the dairy plant. He'd be. It'd be like a gefährlich. No one would ever do such a thing. So Rav Moshe writes, Eidus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah, that's the halacha equivalent of Re'iyah. It's as if there's a Jew watching. So Moshe said that whenever you have strict government control, he says, it is Chol Yisrael. People say, oh, I'm not machmen on Chol Yisrael. What do you mean? You can't say that. To say I'm not machmen on Chol Yisrael means you're not machmen eating kosher. Chol Yisrael is a din mit rabban, it's a mishnah, a favor that you have. Everyone's machmen on Chol Yisrael. It's just you have a different way of defining Chol Yisrael. You think that the Shoprite milk is called Chol Yisrael because there's an Eidus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah, even though there's no Mashgiach standing there washing it. So if you buy the Golden Flow milk, so then there's a Chassidish guy standing by the cows and watching the milk coming out of the cow into the bucket. I doubt there are buckets anymore. but if you buy the regular Chais, the regular Elmer's dairy milk, whatever Shoprite milk, so then you're not relying on the Chassidish Hashgach. You're relying on what they say Fetish Mil, Uncle Sam. You're relying on Uncle Sam. You're relying on the government. The government is telling you that it's kosher. So Rav Moshe popularized that whole notion of Eidus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah and other areas of Lacha. It's a little bit ironic because Chassam Sofer has the Bekidushin. Chassam Sofer was the biggest machmer of all the posts given about Chol Yisrael. Rav Moshe, and the Chassam Sofer writes that he has a fascinating line about Chol Yisrael. Chassam Sofer writes, it was a machlekes poskim about if you're in a situation where there are mamash no treif animals around. There's no chaz around for 100 miles. So you still have to be mapping on Chol Yisrael in the olden days, before government controls. So Chassam Sofer writes, it was a machlekes poskim about that. So he writes that the minig was the lahachmer. Most places in the Ribbit, it was pichadish, it was bale, the minig was the lahachmer. So the Chassam Sofer, it's almost like mamash like an ironic twist of the Chassam Sofer. He writes that. He says, if you hold that the fact that there are no pigs around is okay, that solves that. I'm sorry, if you hold that doesn't solve the problem, it's still included in the Takanas Chacham of Chol Yisrael. So that's good. So that if you're makbid on not to drink that milk, you're observing the mitzvah derabbanan, the issue, not violating the issue of Chol Yisrael. But if you really believe that it's mutter, that not having any pigs around for hundreds of miles is type of matir, and then the Takanas HaMishnah doesn't apply, but Klal Yisrael still a machmer not to do it. So he says, then it's much more chomer, because then it takes on the status of a Nidre Mitzvah, takes on the status of a Nidre HaTzibur, and Chassam Sofer says that Nidre HaTzibur is a Din Deraisa, it's by Yachal Devaro. It's like all of Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves a chomer. So he says, Mamash backwards. He says that, it's not really backwards, but it sounds, you know, it sounds at first glance backwards. If you hold that it's really awesome Mikra Din, then it's really awesome in the Rabbanan. If you hold it's really mutter, and we're doing it anyway, so then it becomes awesome in the Raisa. So he says, no matter how you slice it, says Chassam Sofer, Chol Yisrael is the worst, the Mamash is in the Raisa, it's the most chomer dickers are out there. So it's that's why in the Hungarian community, you know, those who follow the Chassam Sofer, so Chol Yisrael is Mamash like Yilichik for Yavar. But in other places, those who are more makel, like Rav Aisha, who follow the ABC Diploria, so are more makel on this. So it's just a little bit of an ironic twist that Chassam Sofer was the one who popularized that idea by Kedushin, and yet Rav Aisha turned the tables and quoted that by Chol Yisrael to be makel against Chassam Sofer. But getting back to Maseches Kedushin.
But by the milk, all you need is Yediyah. There's no concept of
Edus. No, but the problem is the Mishnah says, no, so that's the thing. The Mishnah says, Yisroel ro'ehu. So the Chassam Sofer and other posts came right. It was a Takanas HaChomer was, the Jew has to watch and see. The fact that you know doesn't mean anything. So Moshe, that's not true. He says, Yediyah is like Re'iyah. You want the official ones to argue that there never was a Takana of Yisroel ro'ehu. It was just Yisroel Yodei in the first place.
That was the means to the end of
right, Yediyah. So that's the Kudus. The Chassam Sofer disagrees with that. He assumes it was Mamish, a formal Re'iyah.
Would we accept the non-kosher egg to be a Mashkiach for Chav Yisrael purposes?
No,
a woman?
I mean, if you didn't have the government, let's say you were living in the middle of Africa, and it would be a woman is kosher be'dechen and yisurim, that would be all right.
Because
there's only yisurim. But if it would be like Russia, it would be someone who is possible for yisurim, let's say, assuming that would be such a case.
But that might be an emanus issue as opposed to a
possibility
issue.
But by Kedushin, the key is not
Nidia,
the key is
Edus.
Right, So Chassam Sofer keeps on driving home that point that something that you that is anansade, that is the halacha principle. The Gemara has that klal anansade. Anansade.
So if you had a couple get married with nobody there, but it was closed circuit, and two people were watching it from 100 miles away, the camera was on top of the radio. They're seeing much better than the guy in the back row. That would be okay.
According to the Chassam Sofer, that sounds like it may be okay. That sounds like that may be alright. Yeah. I'd say everyone agrees to that.
You don't need physical aid in there.
What?
You don't need physical aid in there.
Nowadays,
with technology, they can get married alone. And they can have 500 people watching them.
It's true enough.
Save some money also.
I mean, that's not famous because.
Yeah.
The question is, would that be.
Is that Aedus?
Would that fly as Aedus in a Beis Din? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if this trying to. Chassam Sofer is getting back in the 1800s in Pressburg, back in the early 1800s. So Chassam Sofer just says the guys in the back row are still good. Why? Because it's understood that what they're seeing, they're seeing a wedding. So now comes Chassam Sofer and says, wait a second, we only solve one of the problems. We solve the problem where the Edim, till Zion, we have the Edim. Okay, good, very good. So he says, but wait a second, but we also have Edim Sulim. Now we know for a fact we have Edim Sulim here. Because what we tried to do was to be miyached the Edim and try to bump off the Edim Sulim, but now, in a sense, the whole Yichud became Batel. Because if you're going to stick to the point of Yichud Edim, then you don't have the other Edim. So you want to, in effect, be mevatel your Yichud Edim. That's what you want to do. Just parenthetical, how can you do that? So he says, well, it's all Yichud Batels anyway. You were only miyached the Edim because you thought they were kosher. If you, Tzachatar Zadav, you would have thought that you would have known one of them was possible, you never would have miyached them in the first place. So Chassam Sofer is willing to say as follows, the following cheshbon. He says that, we are going to just cancel the yichud, make believe the yichud never happened. So we're going to take one of the kosher edim who's up under the chuppah, and we'll stick the guy in the third row, even though he's playing on a cell phone, he's not really watching. He's going to count as the second edim, that's okay. Frank Chassam Sofer, but you have edim sulim there. Who do you have? You have the Bechal Shabbos under the chuppah. You have the relatives under the chuppah. You can't fall back on yichud edim anymore, so you're in trouble. Says Chassam Sofer, oh, come on. He says, the Ikar Adin is like who? Guess what? Like the Re. The Ikar Adin is, Din Tzachar Apostle doesn't really apply here. Why doesn't it apply? Because there's no Eidah made anyway. There's a Minig Yisrael to do Yichud Eidah. Come on, it's only a Chumra, it's a Minig. You're going to disqualify Kedushin based on that. So Chassam Sofer says, V'yik ha-mikra din, yichud is batel, we're relying on the guys that back us on Saturday, and maybe you can say, Nimtzech l'kar batel wouldn't even apply here, because at the end of the day, we're really fully back on the re. So then Chassam Sofer is a fascinating, the very end of the Chuvah writes, you know, if you want to know what I think the ikra din is, the woman's book of Dash, the ikra din is you don't need another wedding. You know, mikra din, you don't need another sikra din. You know, Yos Tov, I'll take a ride. Young couple just got married 2 days ago, and the whole life they're going to be living based on the fact Zish Tov Toyo with the Chassam Sofer, with the Reem, with the Maisim, with the Nansadeh, yeah, someone's there. The Sofer says, he advises the person who has a Shabbat, take the couple to a room, quiet, don't make a tataram, bring to aid, and let her give him the ring back as a Matana Gemura, and he'll give it back to our Emukadet and shine and finish and Tikara. But he says, if you want to know what the Ikra Din is, the Ikra Din is the one's Bukadesh. Doesn't really, really have to do that, because the Ikra Din is just Bukadesh is based on everything that we said up until now. But Miyaistava Tikara, I should give it the ring. So I took the advice of the Chassam Sofer one time when I was an aid Kedushin. The person who was Masada Kedushin was a young Rav. He was a little bit nervous, and I think it was the first time that he was doing it. And I forgot exactly what happened. I think he made the Bar Priyagofa and the Bracha, then they forgot to drink, and then she started to give the ring. And so I was like trying to help him out a little bit, so I tried to like hand the cup over to the wine. So meanwhile, while I was maneuvering in the wine, he gave her the ring. I didn't know what they were up to, even they got a little submission. So I mamash didn't see a little of the Messiah said the Bas. So the question is that a problem? So according to some stuff, it's not a problem. Standing in the chuba, it was a shayla of course. What do you think? Is that he played us a suffix that he gave her the ring? Standing right there. So but even close to that, some stuff himself writes me, Yos Tov, I'll take Rai, and it's better not to rely on the fact he didn't see it, it's here. So after the chuba was over, so I followed the couple into the room. I quickly explained to the Masada Kedushin one that it was totally my fault, and I said to the couple, I didn't want to make them feel bad. Right before they were in the yichud room. I was in the yichud room with the Masada Kedushin, and the aid, the other aid, whatever it was. So right before they closed the door of the yichud room, and then before we left, so I explained to the couple, I don't want to make a message. Now, listen, this happens all the time. Since Preshberg, the Aiden, and all the time I said something to the Aiden, weren't watching, don't worry about it. We always like to have a safeguard, always like to have a backup. And just in case there's any chashashas whatsoever, we want you to remain married for Bidinat Deyad, Shabigud Lacholadeus. So I want you to give her the ring again. You're going to the ring back to Lev Sholem. Give her the ring back against Sarah again. Give her the ring back in front of the Aiden. We're going to watch, we're not going to be distracted. No problem. Regular standard. happens all the time. So that way, as I said, everyone was mad. So we followed the footsteps of the Hedek Chassam Sofer 20 years later. Okay, that was all the Shirayim from last week. We're almost done for the show. We'll see if we can start again, at least a little bit started into the next circuit. So the Gemara quoted Machlekes and Gimel and Aleph. Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Sheila about whether Shlich is Nasa Eid or Ein Shlich Nasa Eid. Let's take a look and see. Start again. Two dots. It's in the middle size, not the full big lines, the middle size lines. Itma Rav Amar Shlich Nasei, Dever Bishela Amar Ein Shlich Nasei. So Rav said the Shliach with two ads. He could be the Shlich, the Kedushin. He could be the Eid, everything. And in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shela, they said Ein Shlich Nasei. He can't be the Eid. My time in the Dever Bishela. Bishela is very strange. What's wrong? Elay Mishavlom Blei Heavily Aid. That was how we got a whole sugya started from the first place. Maybe because he didn't say, was it Miyachet Aid then? What? El Meata, who would say such a thing? Kiddush Ishav Ifnei Shnayim V'Omer Metam Aidah Chanam Lo Avikedushay. Would anyone say such a thing? That's wild. Now again, obviously the Gemara is not talking about there are other psulim around, so the Gemara is not even addressing the issues that we have. But just intrinsically, in terms of Yichud Aidim, obviously you don't need. So what did Rabbi Sheila mean? So the Gemara explains. El Rav Amar Shalich Nasei. Rav holds that Shaliyah can be an aid. Why? Alume kamala mil alimna lemilse. He said, that's the greatest. He said, that's so strong. The Rashi says, alume alimna lemilse, the aidus, kishasa davar dea shaliyah. He said, if I myself am giving it, so of course I can be made. That's the greatest aidus. If I'm an aide and I'm half paying attention to what's going on, I'm not doing the scene of myself, so I maybe got it wrong. If I'm being made, then I gave the ring to you. What could possibly go wrong? The Be'er B'Sheila, I mean, no. Ein shlech nasayid. Why is this? Kevad yamama shluch shlom kemoy. So since we know there's a statement called shluch shlom kemoy, so have a like a gufay. So therefore the shliach becomes like the gufay. Literally took shluch shlom kemoy. So mamish, it's like the chosan. Once he becomes like the chosan, it's like the chosan testifying about himself. That's out of the question. Obviously, a Baldover can't testify about himself. Last week we saw that Raivin in the Rush that said a Baldover is so can't testify about himself. He's not even an aide. He's less than an aide apostle. He's a non-aide. He doesn't even get into the batter's box. So comes the Be'er Bishalem, the Yeshiva Bishalem, they said that to have the Shaliach be made on the Kedusha, that's the halach equivalent of having the Chosin be made on the Kedusha, which is absurd. So Shlusham Kamel starts doing a sin. So it sounds like not a bad Svara. Sounds like a good Lomdus. Why did Rav disagree? So there's something, perhaps, or something fundamental going on in this Gemara, some major point, which is really almost the follow-up to so many things we've been talking about during the course of this year. We've been spending most of the year on sugyas relating to shlichos. There's some major point of shlichos that seems to be the point of contention between Rav and the Tanna of Rabbi Shela. So what is that nekuda? What is that point? Why is it that Rabbi Shela held that this is a problem? And Rav held it's not a problem. They seem to be looking at the institution of shlichus through a very, very different set of eyes. So there is a sugya that begins in Maseches Gittin. Also we have a little Gemara's Gittin. So it starts with on Samak Zayin of the days. So the Gemara begins on it's the first Mishnah, the beginning of the seventh Pech. Misha Apsal Kodaikas. So the Mishnah speaks about a person who has some kind of a condition that this is actually starts the three blot of Maseches Gittin, all about medicines. Well, this is the biggest sugin shas about all kind of medical things with Zman Chazal. So all starts basically coming off of this Mishnah. But Mishnah says that because he has this kind of a condition that he's clearly not functioning properly mentally. But I'm a kisu get lishti. And he says, yeah, ready to get to my wife. So the Mishnah says, lo amar klum. So he says, no, forget it. He says, we can't do anything about it. That's obviously, he's a sheikh, there's a lapar das, and whatever he appointed to, at the time that he was a achzor kadaikos is not going to fly. So comes the Gemara and has a machloikis, had a reap shot in this Mishnah, on the Ayin of Aveis. The Gemara says, Amr Shimon Loch, about 8 lines or so from the top. So the Gemara talks about a situation where a person already said to write a get, he already appointed the shaliach to write a get, he appointed the sofer, and then he becomes a kodaikos, then he gets this condition. So Amar Shimon Lachish, kosu v'nosin get la'altar. So Rish Lachish says that you could write the get right away, even though right now he's in the state of kodaikos. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Inkos v'ela l'chashay yishtafeh. The Yochid says, no, you can't write the get now when he's in the Kedaikos. How are you going to give a get on behalf of someone who's stuck with this mental condition? You have to wait until he gets better. If and when he gets healed, then you can give the get that he appointed you to write last week. So the Gemara goes to explain what exactly the Kudus Machlekes is. And basically what the Gemara boils down to is as follows. That this Machlekes from Yochid Rish Lakish, just how out of touch of reality is this fellow, this Kedaikos fellow now? So Rish Lakish gives the following mashal. Rish Lakish says, he's not really a labar das. He's not an absolute shaita. He's like a yoshin. And again, far be it for me to try to diagnose a kodaikos of 1800 years ago with my limited knowledge of halacha and psychiatry put together. So we'll take Chazal's word for it at this point. So Rish Lakish says as follows. Rish says, the guy who has this kodaikos situation, so he's like a guy who's asleep. Would you call a guy who's asleep a labar das? Depends what that means. If a guy's fast asleep and he starts talking in his sleep and he says, divorce my wife, obviously he can't appoint you to divorce his wife. Obviously he doesn't know what's going on when he's sleeping, so he can't write a get based on his talking in his sleep. On the other hand, he's not a lav bar das in the sense of, let's say he would have appointed somebody to write a get an hour ago, and then he goes and lays down and takes a nap. So the shliach can't give the get while the guy's sleeping. You have to, the shliach has to call, make sure you're awake while I give the get. It's ridiculous. So obviously, Mishloch says, you can have a person who, he's not sane enough to authorize a get. He's not cognizant enough to authorize a get, but he's not called the Laban Tas. So Rish Lakish said, that's who this Kedaikas fellow is. And Rabbi Yechon says, no, he's Mamashek a Shota. And a Shota, the Gemara says, if a Shota, if somebody would appoint you to write a get, and then they would become a Shota, there's no way in the world you can give that get. That would be out of the question. So both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish agree that if you have someone who's a real, absolute, 100% bona fide Shota, so even though he appointed you as a Shliach when he was a Bardas, you can't give the get on his behalf. That's a given. The machlekes of Yechon Rish Lakish is this Kedaikas fellow fall into that category or not? But that's Kliyam Lepligi, that if somebody appoints somebody to give a get, and then they subsequently become a shoita, you cannot give the get. So if you take a look at the Rambam, in Perek Beis, Halacha Tes Vav, so the Rambam quotes this din that emanates from this sugya. The Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Tes Vav, writes as follows. Omar Kishu Bari, a person who's healthy, perfectly well, Kisvu get, he tells a sofer to write a get. Utru lishti, appoints him to be a shlich. Leksivus a get, then a shlich, then a sinus a get. Vechagach nivas. And then he gets all, you know, to the point where he's not functioning anymore. Nivas means psychologically something's wrong, that he's overtaken with something, and he's no longer labeled as a bardas. So the Rambam writes, based on this, Rambam tinan achi yavri. So he says, you have to wait until he gets healthy. The kosher knows a lot. You can't act on his behalf if he himself right now is a lot bardas. The Ainsach Lachs of the Moloch Bachash Hivri. However, the Mishnah says that after he comes back to his health, you don't have to ask him again for another authorization. The original authorization is still valid. Nothing happened to the authorization, but in the interim, you have no right to write again. So far, the Ram hasn't said anything. I mean, the Ram said a lot. He just quoted the Gemara. But now the Ram begins to say something very mechudish. V'im kosvo v'nosno kodem shi'avri. What if the person violated the din? He went ahead and he wrote the get and he gave the get before the husband came back to his senses. So at the time of the Ksivas, at the time of the Ksivas, again, the husband was Taka Labradas, he was Mamash a Shaita Gomor, not a Kodaikas, he was a Shaita Gomor. So Ram says, that's terrible, the get's no good. Ram says, I raise a apostle. It's a apostle get. I don't remember, we have commented on this in the past, when the Ram uses that word apostle. That word apostle is a very, very specific connotation of his gittin. Remember? Word puzzle. I don't remember where the Ram had it before. The Ram says it very, very clearly that when he uses the phrase "Harei Zeh Posel," that it's a very, very specific meaning of his gittin. It means it's posel midirabanan. The Ram writes explicitly that if I want to say it's no good in the Torah, I'll tell you "Harei Zeh Bosel," "Harei Zeh Ein Get." It's garbage. It's nothing. "Harei Zeh Posel" means it's a get. It's min haTorah. It's really a get. The Rabbanim, we're not going to let her remarry with this get. We're going to stop from getting married with this get, but you want to know, bottom line is she really an Eshetish Deraisa? No. Because the get is really kosher at the level of Deraisa. So the Rambam just said, quiet a statement here. The Rambam just said, this whole sugya in Gittin Nafayinu Beis, the basic, the ABC premise of the sugya is, you can't give a get on behalf of a fellow who is not a bardas. It's not true, says the Rambam. Minatur, it's not true. Minatur, he can't appoint you to write a get. That's for sure. If he's a la bardas, he doesn't have das to be mamani you. But if he appointed you when he was Yasser Bardas, and now he subsequently became a Shoita, the get is still good on the level of Deraisa. Atkandaviram. So the Torah in Ibn Ezra, where he quotes the same din, writes, Hareza get botel. That if the Shliach went ahead and wrote the get and gave the get for the husband who's a La Bardas, the get is botel on the level of Deraisa. What are they arguing about? What's the point of contention? What's the Rukudas of Machlakis? So the Ketzais as a beer, but the Ktzai suggests that what they're arguing about is something so basic and so fundamental, it's really almost like it should have been almost like the Shir Psicha to this parak of the Sugyas of Kedushin. But the Ktzai develops the following insight. He says, one can understand the whole institution of Shlich, it's really in two very, very different ways. Reuven appoints Shimon to give a get to his wife. Who is the Baal HaChalos of this get? Who is the Megarish right now? Who is creating that Chalos of Gerushin right now? Says a Ketzai, you can understand it one of two ways. Either you can understand it by saying, Shlucho Shladim Kemoso is in the most literal sense. It's not just the Melitza means it literally. Shlucho Shladim Kemoso, the Shliach becomes like the person, i.e., the Megaresh, that one, the Malach Alois, is the Shulich. And therefore, all focus is now on the Shulich himself, and we totally negate what the status of the Mishalech is. I don't really care what the husband, he's history, he's done. Once he hands over those reins to be to a Shulich, the Shulich becomes the quote-unquote Baal, he becomes the Malach Alois, he becomes the Megarish. Well, maybe that's not true. That's not what Shulich is. Shulich just means the Torah gives the Shulich the ability to do actions, to do certain ma'asim, to affect certain chaloisim on behalf of the Baal. But who's really calling the shots? Who's really in the driver's seat? The person who's really controlling this engine of this chalois is the original husband. The Shulich's not married to this woman. The husband's married to this woman. So at the end of the day, he's the Baal chalois. The role of the Shulich is to go through the motions of the Nisim Saget, to express Dibur perhaps for the Get, whether that's the Torah, the Rabbanan. But the Etzem HaChalois, the Chalois is ultimately taking place between the Baal and the Isha, not between the Shulich and the Isha. Comes the Ketzos and says, that Nekudas HaMachloikis is the Machloikis between the Rambam and the Torah. He says, what did the Rambam say? The Rambam says that Reuven, he's a Bardas right now, so we take seriously everything he says. We believe what he says. We trust what he says. So Reuven appoints Shimon to give a get to his wife. And then, while Shimon's in the process of preparing this get, so Reuven goes into some kind of an episode, and Reuven's out, he's out of the picture. Reuven's mom is shoyt gomel. He doesn't know what's going on, what's happening. Says the Ketzos, according to the Rambam, midderai, so Shimon can give the get. Why? What do I care Reuven is? Machpat of Reuven's done. He's not the Baal HaChalos. Shimon, if Shimon would become a shoyt, Shimon can't give the get. But Shimon's perfectly well. He's perfectly healthy. He's normal. So Shimon, who's the new Baal HaChalos, has the ability to give this get. Minatar. Now, midderabbanan, we don't like midderabbanan. It's too risky. Because what's going to happen midderabbanan? If we let this happen, next thing you know is Reuven will try to authorize the get with his mom shoyt, which Taka doesn't work with the Raisa because he's not a bardas to create shliches in the first place. So Chazal didn't want to have gittin being given when the husband's not well. But with the Raisa, even if the husband's not well, as long as he appointed shliach before he became a shayt, it's going to work. And ultimately, says the Ketzos, because the Rambam understood that on the level of the Raisa, the new Baal HaChalos is the shliach. And that's exactly the point that the Torah disagrees with. Says the Ketzos, the Torah holds not. The Torah holds, the husband never relinquished his rights to be the Baal HaChalos. How can he? He's the guy who's married to this woman. What do you mean he relinquished it? What do you mean he's not in the driver's seat? What do you mean he's not the Baal HaChalos? The other guy's not married to this woman. Of course he's the Baal HaChalos. So therefore, says the Torah, notwithstanding, Shlich HaShalom K'mayis from today till tomorrow. At the end of the day, the din is the Baal HaChalos has to be a Bardas. The Baal HaChalos is Nishkin Bardas. So it's not shy of him to be Megarish for this Gerish to take place. So we have to keep on looking back to the husband and seeing, I don't care what the Shlich is doing. If the Baal is asleep, he's still a Bardas. He just right now can't authorize Gech because he can't talk to sleep. But he's still halachically a Bardas. But if he's reached the point of a shayt or kodaikas, whatever you think the definition, the threshold of being la bardas is, once he's passed that threshold, then he cannot serve as the Baal HaChalos, and all the shliachs of tomorrow is not mafkiya the Baal for me, the Baal HaChalos. So the Ketzos is very, very happy with this yisoy, famous yisoy from the Ketzos, which is one nekuda that bothered the Ketzos. So he says, if that's the case, so I have an unbelievable kasha. He says, what would the din be? Forget the husband being a shaita.
If he dies.
The husband died. So what's the din? So there are mishnayis, befeirish mishnayis, and mesechus gittin in the first parak that say, it's not going to fly. If a man gives a get to a shaliach, and then the man subsequently dies, we plug it forward. Ein get le'acha misa. A get can't take place after death. It's not shayach, but a get should take place after death. And I love that. Even the Rambam agrees to that. But that's crazy to say that. That's also chum midrabban. Even the Rambam says that's not shayach to discuss. Avad, that's no good midrabban. One hand. Reuven appointed Shimon as a shaliach, and Reuven died. What's the difference of din between Reuven dying and Reuven becoming a shaita? If the longest of the Rambam is that we don't really care what happened to Reuven anymore because he's out for lunch, he's out of the picture. So mach patli, whether he's out of the picture because he's a la bardas or he's out of the picture because he died. What's the difference? That's like Tzitzis kasha on himself. So in order to solve that problem, Tzitzis has to go back to the drawing board and has to understand what exactly the difference is between the person who's dead and the person who's a shaita. How does that differ? It sounds like, oh yeah, it's all the same thing. Well, it's not exactly. dead and shaykh is not exactly the same thing. What characteristic of being dead is so fundamentally different, drastically different, that differentiates between the two cases? So hopefully next week we'll try to understand a little more of the ketzos, to fine tune the ketzos a little bit, because it's that ketzos, that ram and that tour, that becomes really the background to our sugya. This becomes the way to look at the machlokes Rav and Rabbi Sheila through the eyes of the ram, through the eyes of the tour, through the eyes of the ketzos. We have to just fine tune the ketzos a little bit more. For next week we'll